Well, hi there. Here we are again. This is a Sojourner, and welcome to this very special time. We're talking about anniversaries, and the reason we're talking about anniversaries is this is the anniversary of the starting of Sojourner Fellowships. And our scripture is found in John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. I'm reading from the NIV. On the third day, a wedding took place in Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." This is the first of the miraculous signs Jesus performed in Cana of Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. The unusual thing which comes to mind, or the usual thing actually, which comes to mind when thinking of anniversaries is wedding anniversaries. But there are many other events covered by the term anniversary. One of these in particular is the birthday of a person or an entity. We will use the term for this the anniversary of the starting of Sojourners Fellowships. It was in 1964 the Lord started developing the whole concept of Sojourner Fellowships in my mind. But it was not until 2001 that I was given the go-ahead to start. There were many very productive years of the concept being tweaked, in my understanding, over the 38 intervening years. Yes, 38 intervening years. You know, my friends, many times I have people coming to me saying, "Oh, I know I'm supposed to be doing this for the Lord, but nothing's happening yet. Nothing's happening yet. Oh, what should I do? What should I do?" And I'll say, "Well, how long have you been waiting for the Lord to give you the freedom to do it?" And they'll say something like, "6 weeks." And I say, "Maybe you should hear my story about Sojourners. You know, how does 38 years sound to you for waiting?" I'll tell you, it does wonders for your patience. And for many of you, this is the 7th anniversary if you've been with us from the start. But for me, it is a progression of 44 years. 44 years. I did other things during this 44 years because I've been involved in ministry for 44 years. So I did other things. Other really things that I enjoyed doing, some I didn't enjoy so much, but it didn't matter. If the Lord assigned me to do it, then I was going to do it. And you know, when I realized if I just submitted him to him and did what he wanted me to when he wanted me to do it, I found that I actually ended up enjoying it. There's something special about hearing from the Lord and not following your own lead, but simply following his. Now, back to the wedding at Cana for a few moments. The wedding at Cana was certainly a great event in the eye of those who were then and there wed. I'm sure this was a very momentous time in their life. They no doubt celebrated their anniversary over the future years together. Certainly over the years, their union progressed from different season to different season, as relationships tend to do. You know, I don't think that any relationship between any two people or any group of people just remains frozen, but it progresses. People's love for one another deepens. Even if after years, you know, I've known people who after years have had some real frustrations with each other, but they also had a very deep love, and they could accept the shortcomings of one another, or they made some adjustments, but all in all, when they look back on it, they were glad to have had it. Now, that doesn't mean that all of the seasons may have been joyous. Well, you know, while others may have been actually marked by challenge and discord, this is a part of life. Sometimes people have a hard time grasping that you're probably not going to experience every day as just so exhilarating and so special. How would you ever have a special day if every day was the same? You'd get bored with special. Human nature likes to see a little bit of variety in its life. I enjoy seeing variety in my life. And, you know, you have a testimony once you've been tested. And I hear so many people complain about, well, I don't want to be tested. I don't want to be made stronger. I just want to be happy. There is nothing more satisfying in the world than actually coming past and through a test and having victory in it. And one of the spiritual truths in life is you don't really fail tests, but you don't really pass them until you pass them. And once you've passed them, then you move on. Otherwise, you find yourself many times going right back through the same thing over and over again. A little bit like the movie Groundhog Day. You know, he got up, and the next day it was the same thing, and he got up the next day it was the same thing, and the next day it was the same thing. Now, you know, interestingly enough, the disciples also had various times and seasons with the Lord. I don't know if you've ever thought of this or not, but they did, and so do we, and so will we. I want you to note that not only was Jesus there with his mother, but the disciples were there with them also at this wedding. It was here where they witnessed a miracle which had a great bearing on their relationship to Jesus. You know, I often say to people that Jesus used miracles as his attention step. You've heard me say, and as a matter of fact, I said in one of our recent sessions together, but those people didn't follow Jesus out there and listen to what we know as a Sermon on the Mount just because they wanted to go hear a good preacher. They went out there because they knew that the blind could see, the lame could walk, lepers were healed. They saw the miraculous. You know, the Scripture even says that the world looks for a sign. And it does. And he used signs and wonders to get the attention of the world. You know, it's really sad. I see many people start their walk with the Lord, and they rely on him. And then in the progress of that walk, they fall back into the worldly way of thinking. They think that they've got to somehow take care of their own healings, that they somehow have to pay all their own bills, that they somehow have to meet all their own needs, and then they'll just sort of show up and say, oh, well, you know, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is wonderful, oh, where would I be without Jesus? But they live their life as though there were no Jesus in it. Now, I'm not saying they're out there caught up in any great sins that would be considered by society as great sins, but I'm saying they have fallen into faithlessness. They seek every solution to every problem but the solutions that Jesus has. They seek every way of life, every road, every little alley, every little path, because they fall away from the Scriptures. So they'll want to find out, well, what does this person on TV say? What does this popular person say or that popular person say? But they fall away from their relationship with Jesus and don't even know it. They don't realize it. And one day they turn around and go, how did I get here? How did this happen? Well, there were times like that with Jesus and his disciples. You see? So the disciples are at this wedding, and Jesus' mother is there, and Jesus is there, of course. And they were a miracle, which had a great bearing, as I said, on their relationship to Jesus. There was more than a joining of a couple in the marriage that day in Cana. There was a joining of the disciples to Jesus in a much more substantial manner. But even after this, there were sometimes discord. Remember I said a few minutes ago that there's often discord in relationships with people and that there are challenges that come up. This is a part of life. Well, what are some of the things that happened? Well, you know, Thomas said he wasn't going to believe that Jesus rose from the dead. After all of this time with him, he wasn't going to believe he rose from the dead, even though Jesus said he would, until he got to touch the holes in his hand and the hole in his side. And then Judas, what did Judas do? Judas complained about how the money was handled. He says, this could have been sold, this oil, these things could have been sold and given to the poor. Well, that's discord. You see? Because he had a better idea than the Lord. Well, we all know how he ended up. It's very important, and you hear me say this over and over, and if you get our daily bulletins on the internet, you know that I say we must always focus on Christ. So now here are the disciples. Here's Mary. Here's Jesus. They're at the wedding. And Jesus turns water into wine. You see, prior to this happening, these disciples who were at this wedding with him were there. They were already with Jesus, but they were not dedicated to him as he, you know, they just weren't dedicated to him as who he actually was until this wedding where he changed the water to wine. The living water of Jesus became the wine of the covenant of Jesus the Christ. At that time, they started down that journey. Jesus said that he had water. He told the woman at the well that he had water, that if she drank of that, she would never thirst again. Can you see the symbolism we talk about in Scripture, the marriage supper of the Lamb? Here's Jesus. The first recorded miracle we have is there's Jesus turning water into wine, taking living water and turning it into wine. Now, what do we see is that? We go to communion, and we see that which comes from the grape as representing the blood of Christ that seals the covenant. Can you see this whole marriage thing? Can you see all of the disciples there? And I think one of the most wonderful things is what it says about the disciples after they see him turn the water into wine. And this was no small amount of water. Did you realize that each one of those six stone water jars held 20 to 30 gallons? That's a lot of wine. So certainly, if you or I had said what would bring the disciples to faith, trust, and reliance on Jesus as the Christ, this probably would not have been how we said it would have been accomplished. Just think about it. If somebody had said to you, well, now, the disciples are going to really realize who Jesus is, and they're really going to be dedicated to him as the Savior, as the Christ, as the Messiah, how would you have designed it? Would you have designed it at some wedding? He's never performed this public miracle or whatever, this first recorded thing that we see here from John. I would have never thought of this. But you see, when God does a thing, it's more than just the thing that happens. If nothing else, over the last 7 years, if you've been listening to the teachings, you've seen me delve in and show you how like a diamond or a precious gem that's been cut and set in a setting, There are so many facets as God brings about building his church on the rock of revelation. And a stone, a gemstone, is nothing but a rock with many facets. And that's what we see as Jesus the Christ, and they realize he is the Christ, the Messiah, the Redeemer. But we probably would never in our wildest dreams thought of having him start this ministry to impact so many people and to impact the disciples. Now someday, this is on anniversaries, but someday I'll do a teaching for you on this same scripture. Peeling away the layers of the onion, as I say, to show you just exactly how much of the scripture and the prophecies are found in these 11 verses. Only God could have covered so much spiritual territory in such a little space in time and place in creation and accomplished so much. Only God could have done that. So many aspects, so many facets to it. I'll tell you something, the same's true today. Now here we are celebrating the anniversary of the founding of Sojourners Fellowships. But many of you have expressed thanks for what the Holy Spirit has demonstrated to you over the different seasons as you have wrestled with the important and central truths that we find in Scripture about Christ and you and how it all ties together. Now, many have said they have never understood that as believers they were no longer victims of the world, the flesh, and the devil. It's wonderful to hear this, because I know that this is my message. This is the ministry God has given me, to let people know they're not victims anymore. These realizations often come only through seasons of being challenged and finding the victory through the employing of the Holy Spirit. Do you realize that many, many Christians just don't bother to employ the Holy Spirit of God that is within them? They will look for every solution imaginable and ignore the fact that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in them. That same power that could raise Christ from the dead can certainly accomplish anything else that needs to be done. But you see, we're often so busy supporting ourselves that we miss the fact that the reason we have jobs is that's where God gives us our seed. We plant our seed, then it becomes a part of God's economy. Once it becomes a part of God's economy, God can let it increase 30, 70, 100 fold. But since we can't see how that could happen, it's very easy then to fall back into, well, this is what I know I can do. Not trusting God, but trusting in ourselves, all the while saying, oh no, it's all God. But in point of fact, sometimes falling back. That's the way relationships are. Relationships tend to ebb and flow, but God is always the same. The scripture tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is always the same. So if our relationship changes, it's not him that's changing, because he's the same. Always the same. But if we're not careful, if we're not staying in the Word, if we're not getting our spiritual nutrition out of the Word, if we're not allowing ourselves to be taught, if we're not allowing ourselves to be corrected, if we're not allowing ourselves to be kept on the path by a little tweaking here and there, we can find ourselves in some real messes. And then we go, well, God, how could you let this happen to me? And God's going, I didn't let it happen to you. But these happen. These are what relationships are. But if we turn to the Lord and we repent and we turn to the Lord, what we find out is we find that we were truly not left as orphans when Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father, but were empowered by the infilling of his Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who entered Christ's body, which remains on the earth. That's you and I. That was the disciples, and now it's you and I. By what event? The event of Pentecost. The event of Pentecost. Now, there's something to celebrate. Not many people do. But that's when the power came into the body of Christ that has been retained here on earth to do what? Because to seek and save that which is lost, because God is not willing that any should perish. That includes us who are believers. So if you're a believer and you find yourself perishing, I don't mean that you're not going to be in heaven. I'm talking about in this life. If you're not enjoying the blessings of the kingdom of God in this life, then parts of you are perishing. Oh, turn, my friend. Turn, my friend, and go back to that first love. Because the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead does dwell in you. You were not left as an orphan. Jesus said you wouldn't be, and you were not. Evaluate and celebrate without condemning yourself. That'd be real easy to start saying, oh, woe is me. How awful I've been. Oh, how could I have done this? You know, and of course the devil will go, oh, yeah. He'll just jump right in there and he'll go, you call yourself a Christian. How could you be what you say you are? Look at the mess you've made of things. Hey, listen, the Holy Spirit will just come and say, okay, you've made a mess. Just repent. And let's get back on track. Well, that sounds easy. And it is easy, but I've discovered for many people it's not a very simple process. Because they just keep jumping right back over onto the empty spirit, as though there was no Holy Spirit in them. Side of the fence, start again, looking at the world system, looking for the world system to pull them out when it's the world system that pulled them down. It is the world system that will destroy you. It is God's system and God's kingdom that will keep you in the blessing. My friends, you want to stay in the blessing. Remember in Deuteronomy where it says, today I've set before you life and death, choose life. I mean, God even gives you open book tests and gives you the answers. Stick with him. The disciples at that wedding said, hey, we're sticking with this guy. Did you see that? All those six stone jars, 20 to 30 gallons of water turned to the best wine ever. I tell you, the wine that comes from Christ is the best wine. The living water that comes from Christ is the best water. The life that comes from Christ is the best life. And you know what? If you're not finding your days full of smiles, you can smile again. Just go back and say, oops. But I haven't lost my relationship. It's been maybe a little trying. Not because Christ has been trying, but because we have ourselves. Christ cares for each of us in every season of our sojourn here with him. I don't care what you're facing. If you're facing it and you're full of faith, hallelujah, that is wonderful. If you're facing situations and you're going, how will it work? Remember, he said, cast your care on him because he cares for you. He takes your care and vanquishes it, just vanquishes it, as if, you see, as if it weren't even there, if you will seek his kingdom first. Oh, my friend, don't seek your kingdom first. Your kingdom will lead to bitterness and loss. His kingdom is a kingdom of blessing. You will be blessed as you go in and blessed as you go out. Blessed as you walk along the streets and you drive along the highways and the byways, you will be blessed. All those cares will then be cared for by who? By him, by Jesus. And all the things will be provided. All the things. The scripture says that. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. They'll be provided. Why will they be provided? Because we are in the kingdom of the blessing. Why would you step out of the blessing? And when we realize we've done it, we go, "You, how dumb." But we still do it sometimes. Let me encourage you. If you're not doing it, don't. And if you are having done it, repent. Just change. Turn around. Run back into the arms of Christ. Let the Holy Spirit pour out of you and solve whatever mess you find yourself in. Because you, my friend, are in the kingdom of the blessing. You know, unfortunately, many people will accept Christ, and then they will act like, okay, now that I've accepted Christ, I have to live like I have to earn my salvation, my healing, and my deliverance. There's no scripture in that. There's no grace in that. If we're saved by grace, which we are, then how is it that if we accepted Christ and we accepted His grace, how is it that we should have to fall back under the law? Do you understand Jesus fulfilled the law so you wouldn't have to? Now, some people would say, oh, don't tell people that. You tell people that, they will just go out and sin all the more. Let me tell you something. The closer you get to God, the less you will want to be involved in any kind of sin. But most people live their Christian lives like they are police officers on themselves, going, oh, I got to watch and not break the law. I got to watch and not break the law. I will tell you, if you're in sync with Christ, you won't live like that, because you'll understand that you live in grace. You understand that you live in the kingdom of the blessing, and that the blessing is yours in all that you do. All you have to do is just draw on it. How do you do that? You draw on it by faith. Oh, but you don't understand. I've got this medical problem, or I've got this bill, or I've got this family situation, or I've got this, I got this, I got this. Don't you think that God is big enough to handle it? If you don't, please realize you have already pulled away. Run back into His arms, because He is not out there with a club ready to beat you over the head. Have you not read the story of the son of the man who went out and blew his whole inheritance and did this? And when he came back, his dad ran out and met him on the road and put a ring on his finger and put a robe back on him. That's grace. That's what God is trying to get to you through His word. You're in the kingdom of the blessing, my friends. For 7 years, we have celebrated this, and we have taught this. Now, I've taught it for over 40 years, but I'm saying, as Sojourners Fellowships, this being the anniversary time, this is what I've tried to teach and get across to people. Sometimes it comes through clearly, perhaps because I speak it clearly. Sometimes it comes not so clearly, because maybe I haven't spoken it as clearly. And sometimes it's just in the ear of the hearer. You know, you run into places in Scripture where it says, "He who has ears, let him hear." What that means is, if you've got an ear to hear it, you'll hear it. If you don't have an ear to hear it, you might not hear it. I say to you, my friends, hear what I'm saying. Hear what I'm saying. And celebrate every anniversary of the blessings. Look back at when you first accepted Christ and come through it. And I'll bet you'll find that those times that things were hard, you weren't in the Word. Now, I'm not saying that everything will be wonderful, because it says that we will have certain challenges. But what we know is that He is bigger than any challenge that we have. And He will pull our fat out of the fire every time if we'll just stay out of His way and let Him do it. We do many things in Sojourners that we don't have the money to do, we don't have the personnel to do, we don't have ability, but somehow it happens. Why? Because He's able. Because He is able. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and He'll take care of all those other things. Well, all those cares will then be cared for by Him. and all the things will be provided because we are in the kingdom of the blessing. Happy anniversary, sojourners. Let's make it another great year with the Lord, seeking Him first and watching what He does. Happy anniversary. And that's my message for this session. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for these years and all the blessings that You have given. We thank You for the souls that have come to You or come closer to You or returned to You. We thank You for that. We thank You for Your blessings. We thank You that because of You, we do more than we can, more often than we're able, far beyond anything that we could do in our natural selves. But You are faithful, and we praise You and we worship You and we thank You for it. And for those people who don't feel that, who have not experienced that, You can. Just pray this prayer with me. Father in heaven, I'm sorry for where I've missed the mark, where I've fallen short. I'm turning around right now. I'm changing, and I'm looking to You. And I'm looking to You through Jesus the Christ, my Lord and my Savior. Please welcome me into Your kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now, my friend, if you prayed that prayer, if you've not known Christ or you've returned and you've prayed that prayer, I will tell you something. There is a celebration going on in heaven right now that you would find hard to comprehend. Do you know that all the angels in heaven are celebrating you? Yes, you. They're celebrating you right now. And I will celebrate you too. I celebrate every sojourner. I celebrate every brother and sister in the Lord. And I say this blessing on you now. The blessings of our Lord on you and all that is yours by blood, by adoption, or by assignment in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Until next time, goodbye now.